When we come back from our break, we're going to then talk about the medicine wheels, concepts and laws, and how do they fit to steps. Because then they make you want to look forward to doing the steps. So let's take about a 14-minute break. This really helps me a lot, but he does it in such ways that I never forget it. Like he draws things on the ground and things. But when I was talking to him about a problem one time, and his one showed me, he said there's two things that you need to know, where you are and where you're going. As soon as you have that, then everything can move. So you can't move if you just have this. You can't move if you just have that. You need to have them both. But he said to me, he said, what you do too much, he said, is you ask the question why. He said, now that's a different place. That why, he says, is there. So what I really want to know is where am I now in relationship to where I'm going? But he said, Don, he says, what you do, he says, you, why did I do that? Why did that happen? Why? He said, you do that, why dance? He was getting his drum like, why? And sometimes we why for months. Sometimes for years. See, but that is an ego trick question. It is. See, the ego don't want you to grow. It wants you to stay. It knows that if you get these two answers, you will grow and start to move. See, why is an insane question. I'm talking about in terms of moving. What happens if I know why? Then they'll say, well, why that? Why? Then I have to dance again. So when we come into these steps, it's about coming on that red road. So in step one, you locate. In step two, you create the vision. And then it allows you to go on, you see, to the next steps. So does that make sense? But why? What a why question. You know, we dance sometimes for a long time. We don't need to do that. But sometimes people even guide us to that why dance too much. It's too much. See, we have in recovery, we have to get ourselves well so we can help our people. And we don't need to, you know, why it. Why our way there. Okay, any questions on that? So do you think that you could, in this manner, personally do the first half of step one? The mind map works pretty good because it triggers levels even. You know, if you take them out two or three levels, it's pretty easy to do in doing that work. All right. Then we want to go on to the next exercise. And if you look in this book on page 13, these questions, there's 9 questions. These questions come out of the big book on page 52. And these are what's called from the paragraph called the unmanageability paragraph. So I'll just read it really quick. And it says in this paragraph, some of you recognize it, it says, we had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. That's like the mouse and the eagle. Our readiness to change, look at it differently. Then it makes 9 statements. It says, we were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be a real help to other people. That's called the unmanageability paragraph. So all we've done is taken those statements, we were having trouble with personal relationships, and flip them into a question. Am I having problems with personal relationships? See, I need to locate in that area of unmanageability what are the results currently going on in my life in the terms of relationships? How am I doing? See, in that area. So what we want to do is to break into work groups again and do another mind map. So we want to, altogether there's 9 questions here. So we want to break the men into 2 groups this time and the women into 2 groups. So we would like the men's group, we would like you to take a look at unmanageability in personal relationships. So, and we want the group one of the women to also look at unmanageability in personal relationships. So one way to do that is you take a look at relationships. Like one way sometimes I look at the second part of step one is I say to myself, there's 9 islands. If I could look at my life that way, there's 9 islands. One is personal relationships. The second question says my emotional nature, full of fear, misery, depression. Let's say that I could get in a helicopter and I would look at my island of personal relationships, and that I could, like, from the point of view of the eagle. So if I just get like in a helicopter and I say, today I'm going to observe me in relationships. So I get in a helicopter, go up in the air, I fly over to a little island that's got all the people that I've been in relationships with, and then I could just stop that helicopter and I just look down and I could watch myself and another person. So say it would be, I would just could hover over that. So I would look at me and my children. Then I could move over just a little bit and I look at me and my mate. And I look at me and somebody at work. And what I want to look down and see is, how am I managing that? So you think back to your experiences. So say it's you and your spouse. And you think back to, like, how do you handle that? So you see them do something, then you watch you, how do you do it? Am I trying to maneuver them? Am I trying to hit one of their buttons? Am I trying to make them, get pissed? Do I put fear in them? Am I withholding information? Do I give them the silent treatment? See, I want to take a look at what is going on there. See, how do I do my children? Or whatever that relationship is. But when I observe it, I don't want to see what are they doing only. What I'm really looking for, and when they did that, how am I reacting to what they're doing? Do I lie? Do I manipulate? Am I cheating? Am I attacking them? Am I withholding? Do I get angry? See, do I run? Do I attack? How do I handle that conflict in relationships? Get the idea for that? But I want to look at me, my part of it. So you look at the whole thing, and then, so when you look at unmanageability in relationships, then I want you to do a mind map on how are you reacting to what is going on there. See, I need to know what to own. Now, you say, yeah, but they're doing this. That's true. And what they're doing is unfair. That's true. But how are you reacting to what they are doing? Doesn't matter what it is. And the thing is to don't judge it. You know, this isn't about judging what's going on. It's just about observing it. Well, I'll be darned. See, look at it. See, I need to get an idea of how am I behaving and reacting. Not the reasons, but I just need to see what my behavior is. Does that make sense? The second question, it says, we couldn't control our emotional nature. So that, you will see, isn't a question. It's how do I do my emotional nature? So what I want to look at emotionally is when I'm in it, when I'm in the emotion, then how do I react? What do I do? So I would take that little helicopter ride and I would go to the next island, emotional nature. So all I would do is look at, when I get over there, say one of my emotions is anger. So I'm with another person, so I just watch, what do I do? See, I see it taking place. I get that tension feeling inside. Slam the door. Out the door I go. See, I won't talk. I come back and I look. As you don't talk for months, you won't say anything. See, you freeze up. Or you go and you retaliate. You know how sometimes you'll leave a place or whatever and you sit in your car and I'm going to go back and I'm going to kick their ass and then I'm going to do this and I'm going to go there and I'm going to trip and let the air out of their tires and then I'm going to go. You know, you just go fantasizing and all the stuff you're going to do to them. You know how that could be a way that I react. How do I behave when an emotion is there? What happens when I'm happy? See? Do I start to look around? Oh no, when's the other shoe going to drop? See, it can't stay like this. So you get the idea of that? Just to look at some emotions and see how are we controlling it or is it controlling us? When I get angry, when I look at it, do I just have to do what it says? Do I make, like after it's done, do I feel really shameful? Like after I run my lips or whatever, then afterwards I make a little vow. I'm not going to do this again. I promise. And then the next time, I do it again. See? And then I feel more guilt and more shame. Or does it lead me to the drink? Or does it lead me to a drug? See? Does it? How does that work? So we would like to, if we can just get the men over here and the women over there, that would be the easiest. Will you divide them into two groups then and give one of them personal relationships and the other one emotional nature? Here. Oops. Okay, this could probably be done for now, huh? The one they did on the person relations.
We started out with our children, and I guess the first thing we had was a lot of fear. We were insecure about how we were raising them, or you know, the things that we were doing, because often it wasn't right. Financial insecurity, which caused us to sometimes make them feel guilty and shameful. Oh, you can't have this, you can't have that, because we don't have this. I think, most of us can say we spent that money on other things. Caused them hardship. Or someone mentioned that their stepchildren caused them to have safety fears, gave them a lot of double messages. Conditional love, didn't love them. They did something good or bad, you know, dependent upon, we gave them our love depending upon what they were doing. It was very frustrating as a parent. Most of us, if we go back to our parents, didn't learn how to be those kind of parents. So there's a lot of frustration in that. Caused anger, shame, guilt, remorse, and sadness. Jealousy, abandonment, neglectful, selfish, trying to be perfect, abandon them emotionally, intellectually, and physically, spiritually. So we started out with our children like that. Some of the people didn't have kids, but they said some of the same things. With our parents, where did we go? From there we went to men. We had two different things. Some of us, with relations with men, we chose men who were alcoholic. Other people chose men who were codependent, who were saviors, rescuers. In all of it, we were manipulative, trying to change them, calm them, control them. Some people were super responsible because their alcoholic men weren't. There's a lot of emotional shutdown, a lot of pain, which caused to act out. Very abusive, sex addicts, lies, stealing, having affairs, threatening, a lot of fear of rejection. Someone plotted murder. tried to make them miserable and continually keeping confusion in the relationship. Lots of confusion. Also very self-righteous. Playing the victim, to Mary playing mom, lots of fear, trying to change them. Let's see, where did we go from there? I think we went to, you guys, to ourselves, how we felt about ourselves, how we reacted to ourselves. We were very fearful, disappointed in our behaviors and actions, led to a lot of shame and guilt, felt inferior to others, low self-esteem, gross, a lot of self-pity, why is this happening to me, bewildered, what is happening to me, confused, suicidal, a lot of anger and self-hate towards ourselves, towards our Creator. A lot of us said that it was non-existent, there was no feeling of a Creator. A lot of fear, a lot of aloneness, real vague about any kind of relationship that there may be, testing how powerful that person might be, mistrustful, ambivalent, uncaring, a punishing, anger, sense of loss, powerless, undeserving, and unworthy. Part of that was that the things that we had done, the things that we had experienced, how we were, caused us to be real mistrustful and believe that no matter what, we were going to hell. No matter what, there was going to be no higher power that was going to help us because of the things that we had done, the way that we were. Towards the parents, the relationship with the parents' reactions, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, abusive, neglectful, emotionally, spiritually, physically, sexually. There's a lot of double messages, a lot of conditional love. We found that it was real generational with the children, generational dysfunction and abandonment. A lot of the same things in our relationship with the children are there with our relationship with the parents. Towards the employer, out to get me, never satisfied, became workaholics, RR, perfectionist, lied, skipped work, stole money, jealous of coworkers, irresponsible, self-justified, just not putting in whatever it was that we were supposed to do. Most of them probably got fired somewhere down along the line. We went ahead at the end, since there was some time, and tried to think about how we were today, and with ourselves, forgiving, nurturing, self-respect, learning, or teachable, willing to learn, and accepting. Someone still self-recriminating for days, still. And with our Creator, understanding, open, accepting, loving, kind, forgiving, strong, not alone, prayerful. Try to learn the lessons as they come. People said it was their best friend. They felt very loved and it was awesome. Also, there's still that willful, that self-will, which causes an unmanageability in certain areas of our lives. Same mistake gets said over and over, and still a lot of shame and guilt over that.
What do you think? Well, let's see. The relationship between step one and two is what? Where are we now in relationship to where are we going?
So if we have all that perfection in the first step, there's no need to go on the second step.
Maybe that's
everything's totally loving, I'm loving, and awesome, and beautiful, and how's it? Yeah, we're done.
Sounds like ego, though. And that's ego. That's ego.
Yeah.
Or if that's where, how you are, then what's the problem?
So you listing your perfection is causing you unmanageability? Is that what this is? We're looking at the second half of the first step as we're looking at unmanageability. So are these issues causing unmanageability in your life? Can perfectionism cause unmanageability?
Oh,
yeah. So, what was your question? So, what you're really looking at in that step is, when I look at the results in my life today, these are the results. This is what's in the water coming from the lake. These are the results that I see. Does that make sense? These are the results that I am experiencing. That's the best I've seen in terms of looking at the results at what can happen just in, you know, in personal relationships. Because it just drives you nuts trying to, you know, a very, very time-consuming, energy-consuming, loss of sleep, just feeling insane and powerless and trying to whatever. Could we have the men do theirs on relationships?
George,
I'm an alcoholic.
George. The group of men that I sat with, we centered ourselves with ourselves. We started with self. Looking down from the view of a helicopter, we tried to examine how we felt and how we viewed things during the past, during the drinking days. We talked to guilt, self-hatred, judgment, lack of confidence, self-will, commenting on self-confidence, control of our emotions. We're always emotionally out of control. With that in mind, we moved to our family life, which would be wife or girlfriend, and there we discussed the possibilities of the financial situation. There was never enough money for me, my beer. And what the hell, you don't need no more diapers, use a handkerchief. very gay, very selfish, on the money, withdrawn, didn't want to share anything with anybody. The reason for getting drunk, because the wife was always nagging at me, the wife was always nagging. Sexual relationship, it was either too much or not enough, or never happy. Not trusting, a lot of jealousy. When you're drunk and you turn on some other man that looks at her, you're going to get enough jealous of him, not her, but him, type of thing. Anger, relationships all anger. Then I move over to our relationship with our children, and there was a lot of not any support, physical support. As they were working on their school projects, I couldn't be bothered with that. I'm speaking for the group, but when I say I mean it's a group. Couldn't be bothered with that. Just me sitting in the pickup getting drunk and go in there and spend time with you, quality time as it's known now, for school projects. What else have we up here? Pardon me? It is, I'm trying to get to it here. Just ignoring them. They were just a piece of furniture that was in the way. Get the hell out of the way. I don't have time to be bothered with you. I need to get drunk. Then we dropped on down to our parents and how we sort of looked at them. There was a lot of anger. We were rebellious. We defined them that no matter what they said, they were wrong. Another reason to go get drunk or skip school or whatever age group we happened to be at the time. We touched on love, a big exclamation point. It should be a big question mark there on the wall. Love was there, but we couldn't show it. And this goes for the children and the wife or girlfriend environment. It was there, but we had a bass-ass backward ways of showing it. It just didn't work. We moved over to co-workers and employers. There was a lot of jealousy involved, backstabbing, creating turmoils to try to get ahead the political game in any corporate or industry level. The big head, I always knew more than that other one, so I had to get paid more type of thing. Mm-hmm. Which ended up into disputes with the administration, getting fired. Neighbors and the community life. We've always had disputes, trespassing. Turn your horses loose, let them feed on the neighbor's apple trees. He won't care. So he comes after you with a shotgun, then he cares. Anger, disagreement, fear, self-will against in the community. I personally was in a small community of Edgewood out north here about 22 years out there, and I couldn't be bothered with them. I couldn't go vote on the names to change the name of the post office or any of that stuff. That was my personal experience with the community. My neighbors, I ignored them until I needed something. Sure. Then I called them. Friends, I think we could sort of classify as neighbors in the community, although I had no friends in my neighborhood. Again, I'm speaking for myself. All my friends were somewhere else because they knew better. They had to move away. Yeah. One thing I feel that we should have touched on and we didn't, and I apologize, and we neglected what the ladies did. I thought up here, the Creator, that was a good one. It just blew past us. Any questions on it? Now you know.
Is there any questions on that? On that one? I think it's really good we were looking at this gender wise. Yeah. This feels very comfortable. Yes.
I felt like looking at the unmanageability in my life back in my drinking days was not nearly so useful as we may have been focused on today. How is my life unmanageable? Or now that I don't drink, has my life suddenly become manageable? Or can I now manage my life in sobriety? And that exercise seems to me would have been more helpful today to help me acknowledge, yeah, my life is unmanageable today, sober. Because, you know, what am I going to do about the person I was 8 years ago? The person I'm trying to work today and stuff. So that evidence for unmanageability, you know, is really good stuff today. It's nice to look at, too, from 8 or 10 years ago.
Well, the purpose of that is to give a format that you can go do it personally. Somebody who's in maybe 6 months or a year, they will have that. If you're sober longer, you probably will have, you tend to have almost as much, but you'd have different content in it, but still be an issue. Yeah, or degree of that. You had something, Debbie?
I can say, that even though it's been gender-wise, I know that I can relate to most of the things that are on the male side as well. It's just, I think, a part of it is just what we look at first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I can relate to everything that's happened, but I don't know about the men who can relate to the women side as well. It's just a matter of what we pull out first as we're going through, what we feel first, that immediate reaction, you know, and then it gets down to all those causes and issues are all there as alcoholics. I guess that's what makes us all alcoholics, when we're needing to relate to each other as a whole anyway. You know, we don't have all those AA, all this AA, all these together as well, because that relationship is the same.
Okay, can we have the woman who did the one on emotional nature? We couldn't control our emotional nature.
What we started with was the image of the volcano, thinking of it in several different levels. And this bottom level we thought were our childhood or real primitive or early emotions that all got together in here. and there are good ones and bad ones. Unworthiness, powerlessness, ecstasy, joy, love, guilt, our spirituality, the neglect, abandonment, terror, violation, and trauma that we suffered, fear, shame, inadequacy, trust, hope, and rage. And the image being that this is all under there boiling away. And the mountain itself of the volcano is all those things which we put around ourselves to protect us from all those feelings underneath and all those motives underneath. And what we get is sex. What we came up with in here was development of sexism, need for control, whatever that is, prejudice, justification of all these things, no self-esteem or low self-esteem, substance abuse, promiscuity, codependency, accomplishments, greed, envy, and this is our river of denial here. And all these things will also cause cracks. These are things are made up. Our mountain is made up of these things, but they all also break out of our river of denial and cause cracks and violation. But while we're still under pressure here, different things come out. And our masks come out. Our masks covering ourselves, codependency, wall, emotional walls, anger, depression, doormatism, physical ailments. On the top of the list is PMS, migraines, stomach ulcers, vision problems, cancer, lines on our face, gray hair, diabetes, overweight, arthritis, anorexia, bulimia, nervous tics. We become lonely. We are isolated. We have self-pity. We use creativity as an outlet of these emotions, but good things can come from that. Escapism, manipulation, religious fanaticism, as opposed to spirituality, shopping, soap operas, sex, gambling, the need to have things, possessions, pulling us in. We become overachievers or underachievers. We run. We are spiritually bankrupt at that time. We use charm, we enable, and we take care of people. And this is what's happening. And the result of which is when our temperature gauge here on the side goes up and it blows, we can experience evil in our lives through others and through ourselves. And at that point, we become spiritual or we die. We have suicide in our lives, strange mental blank spots, relapsing, uncontrolled rage, binge eating, or all kinds of obsessions, psychotic breaks, total recklessness, irresponsibility, screaming, unhealthy relationships, basically entire breakdowns of all.
Good thing. Good, huh? Good job. That's really good.
Healthy relationships, basically entire breakdowns of all.
Good thing. Good, huh? Good job. That's really good. Can we have the men do that emotional nature?
I feel like this is done by the second grade compared to that one. Best angle on this. I think what we did was we started this, how good are we at controlling our emotional natures, and we started off, it seemed like, with today, and kind of digressed or kind of what moved into years ago and drinking and drugs, and so it covers all the territory. And we start with anger, and we couldn't control that very well. Out of anger, all sorts of things came. Let's see. Anger, resentment, jealousy, shame, guilt, envy, suicide, child abuse, moodiness, spitefulness, violence, abuse, all sorts of health issues, stress, depression. And one of the first things that was stated was that anger is a cover for fear, and so you're in a fearful area that you can't control when you're in that anger area. We had rage, loss of control, and then that went into all of the things that might be said, which started out with fuck you, I don't give a damn, I hate you, I never want to see you again, I'm leaving, or get the hell out, and then you've been replaced. let's see, that was all in anger. We had greed, gambling, fraud, workaholism, dishonesty, stealing, conning, lying. We had love, we had sex, places. I'm not sure what that meant, but love of places. The bars, etc. Life, addiction, abuse, insecurity, security. Drinking, drugs and booze. Then we had excitement. These are all the ones that were listed. From excitement was danger, wild and crazy behavior, risk-taking, violence, theft, and adrenaline. And open-mindedness and closed-mindedness. Then jealousy, envy, insecurity, self-pity, violence, loss of conscience, and jail, and then fear and sadness were two of us.
All right. So that, does that make sense when you take a look at unmanageability of those certain areas? You guys, this is really good. And I know accumulatively, it doesn't mean everyone has to have every one of these. But it's to give an idea of which one is mine that's causing issues. So any questions on that as a process upon how to look at the first half of step one of the unmanageability? All right. Now I'd like you to go back in those same work groups. And what I'd like you to do this time is take that information. So remember the relationship between step one and step two. So in this area of personal relationships is step one, so then to create that vision in relationships. So in other words, if I take that information from step one, now I'm going to take that unmanageability and build a vision. So the question is, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore me to sanity. So the question is, how would I have me be in that same situation if they didn't change? Am I willing to believe that there's a power? She came to believe that a power greater could. So what would be the picture or the image or the mind map of how I would be in that relationship, whether they changed or not? And not asking the question, well, how would the Creator do that, or when is He going to do it, but does the power exist to make me that way? You take a look at these emotional natures, you do the same thing, where you have anger and all of those normal reactions. So then you take that emotion and you build that vision. How would you have you be? See, we're really looking at the development in step two of the being, not the doing. We are human, we are spiritual beings, right? We are human beings, not human doings. So we really set the vision in step two to put in the vision the being. Now, you know, it's like if I just take a look at myself, say I really have a temper and I'm really angry and I know that. So say that my mind map, I write that out, anger, I'm jealous, I attack, whatever. So then I take that to step two and I start to create that vision. Well, what would it look like if you didn't have one? Well, I'd be very patient, I would be understanding, I'd be kind. Then there's little people. Like when you write steps, they come to little people, they're about this tall. So you'll start to write, say I've got a temper and I'm angry or whatever. So I'll start to write, well, I could see if it was working, I'd be very, very patient and I'd be tolerant. That's when the little people come, they hop up and they tug on your ear and they say, who are you trying to shit? Patient, yeah, right. See? So you gotta kind of snap the little people off. Right? So all of step two is done outside of the current belief system. This is very, very important. All of step two is always done outside of the current belief system. It's in the land of impossibilities, beyond what you can any way ever possibly see through the world's greatest whatever. So it's all done out here. It's beyond your belief system. So all of step two work is done beyond the belief system. So came to believe that a power greater than myself could, say I was an angry person, temper, make me gentle, kind, loving, see, patient. So very often when you build it, you have to snap off the little people, right? Because they whisper in your ear, you do any shit, right? You be patient, kind, tolerant, right? You've been this way for 4 years. But do not get trapped by the question, how is it going to happen? So you don't worry about that. Or when is that one going to happen? Right? So I want you to take those back into the same groups. Yes. And just to build that vision. So what you'll end up doing is creating that vision in those two areas that we're using, for example, personal relationships, emotional nature, and build those mind map visions for step two. Yes. Well, when you get the relationship, if I'm asking your question right, let's just say...
Well, the reason I ask is because this, to me, this is a lot like setting the same sound ideal. But I'm going to ask God what we do next. But I'm going to do later on after the inventory.
That's the instruction in sex inventory.
Yeah. What I do is just take that and try to use it for all areas.
Well, the way that I look at, if you take a look at the steps, it's very precise on what to do. Every instruction is there, is how I look at that. Because if you take a look at the current reality, what's going on now, and you create that vision, what the steps do, it's why the vision you set in step two becomes your spiritual awakening in step 12, because the rest of the steps sort out the blockages, all the character defects that are standing between you and that ideal that you set. And it's a spiritual process that starts to reveal that. So suppose that I don't own something up there. Suppose I leave it out. Right? It doesn't show up. It's whatever I own, set the vision for, then that is where the conflict occurs to reveal where the blockages are so I don't see it. It's very, very powerful. You grow very powerfully, very quickly, and very sound. It's a conflict-guiding system, right? This is a conflict. The Creator made a system of harmony, so it's a system of conflict through the steps that gives you the harmony. It will show you the blockages. You leave it out and don't own it, you're not going to see it. You cannot fix that which you don't admit is broke. It's like you can't give away what you don't have. You know, it's said a number of different ways. So if you could go back into your same work groups and create that vision of step two. If you need to take those sheets with you, feel free to take. Now, we also know that the principle for step two
is hope. So the principle for step one is honesty. Be honest. Recognize, acknowledge that whatever is going on, this is me that's going on. So what you would have when you finish step one and two, you'd have these nine areas in step one. Then you take that and you create these nine areas of the vision in step two, just like you did. You just did two of them. Now, why is it that it turns out to be the principle of hope? So we want to explain that very quickly. The creative subconscious has two other functions. One of its second functions is to solve and to resolve problems. That's one of its functions. Anytime I give it a problem, it has to go solve it. And the third function it has is to turn on my drive or the energy system. So I have, every time I give my mind a problem, it turns on an energy system to solve that problem. So I have a creativity system inside of my mind and an energy system. So the human being is always designed to have order in its life. Order in the life means that whatever I picture in here, I see it outside. So let's just say that I was born with my fingers together. And that's the way I was born. Then one morning I wake up and the alarm clock goes off, and I reach off and shut the alarm clock off, and I'm going, that's when I notice it, see? In my mind, my fingers are supposed to be together and they're apart. So our energy system kicks on, and I have to go and restore it back to order. Now I have order in my life. See? So it's always working to restore order. So let's say I live in this house for 50 years. Let's say I live in it for 15 years. And then all of a sudden, somebody gives me the idea I ought to paint the house. Now all this time, nothing's bothered me. So what they do is, through my senses, I start to paint a picture inside of my house of what would that house look like if it was painted. So over a period of time, I will create a new vision inside of my mind of this house, and it's going to be blue, and it's going to have white trim, and it's going to be a picket fence. So I get the idea in my mind of the end result. So I create inside of myself a vision. Now what happens, as soon as I get that vision inside, say I come driving up to the house one day, and I pull in the driveway or whatever, and I look at it and I go, Jesus, look at that wreck. Who could live in such a thing? The paint's peeling, and even the boards are cracked. So what happens is when I put the vision in, then I become discontent with the old. All of a sudden I notice where it's broke, so it's a conflict system kicks in. When this creative subconscious, what it does is anytime it sees a difference. So when I have a picture of the house that is blue and it's got white trim and it's painted and I look at it, I have just given myself a problem. A problem is anytime what I see out here is different from here. So it turns on an energy system, a creativity system. So I take vacation, I go to the hardware store, I get the paint, I get the brushes, I come home. See, I set everything up and I start painting Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday night. Anybody comes along, I give them a brush. Come on, I'll paint. Get here, scrape here, do this. Paint Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then Sunday afternoon, I'll take the last stroke of the brush. I step back and I look at the house. Pictures match. That house out there looks like how the picture is. And you just go, it claps right on the lawn. I couldn't have went another day. Am I glad I finished it now? No. If it was another day of painting, your energy system would have stayed intact. Do you get the idea? Now, what happens in step two? First, you look at the unmanageability. You look at the old house. Then you go to step two, and you start looking at this vision of myself. I see myself to be spiritual, patient, tolerant, kind, having courage. So I start to put that idea inside of my house. Now what happens? I put that possibility of that vision in step two. It turns on a problem-solving system and it gives me the drive and the energy to go to step three. I can't wait to do four. I got to do five. I want to do six. I want to do the amends. Because you're working off an energy system. And that's why step two is a principle of hope. Hope means I quit. Do you really think I could be that way? See? But you look at yourself and you're not, and that's what you want. Is you want to create the discontent. Get the idea of that? That's why you do step two with that vision. And then once you get that vision, you see, when you remember in step 11 where it says, be careful of resting on your laurels? What that means is the pictures match. When the pictures match, your energy system shuts down and you're resting on laurels. You might be setting yourself up for a drunk. See, it's when the pictures match. So what we're doing in this process is to put this vision inside to turn on an energy system to look forward to doing the next step. I can't wait, see? So instead of trying to avoid meetings and doing that, you just start gathering information. I want to grow. I want to do this. But as an energy system inside also is turned on. Does that make sense? All right, let's see what some of these visions are. Let's take this one here first. This one is on what? Is this personal relationships? Yeah, could we do this one? See, it's really nice, too, about this one. It even has a vision, a picture, and branches. And so when the mind sees that, the mind gets all excited about that. Lena.
Freedom, harmony, laughter, wisdom, serenity, balance, love, joy, caring, purpose, and here's integration, connectedness, selflessness, purpose, fearlessness, growth, intuition, dreams, financial security, and goes down to the root spiritual growth and our mother, the earth, unconditional love, creativity, peace, sound, sincerity, opportunities, patience, kindness, respect, humility, consciousness, reality, celebration, spontaneity, courage, hope, sharing, and play.
I have an affirmation.
Good.
I celebrate my life. I am a courageous, strong, connected, worthy woman, joyfully, abundantly sharing my gifts from the Creator.
All right. Now, see, you think those hard statements like that, that's why affirmations also work. Because when you say that with that emotion, I see myself as a strong woman, whatever, and when you feel that going in, you create that new image, and it turns on an energy system. That's just an excellent, excellent way to look at that step. If you say that every day, it turns on more energy, more energy, more energy. See? And it just continues to drive always for that picture. Now remember we talked about the medicine wheel teachings that says there are two worlds that exist, seen world, unseen world. Both are run by a set of principle laws and values. If I design my being or conduct my thinking in harmony with those principle laws and values, there's certain results I will see in my life. So if I develop my being, serenity, wisdom, caring, humor, spontaneity. That's it. You see, so as we go through the rest of the steps, it removes those blockages
and all of a sudden you come out to see that's who you were all along, then this is the one that drives. So the creator subconscious, as you develop that picture, it maintains sanity. You must be like that new picture. So anytime you act dishonest, tension will occur in your system. And it'll correct for the mistake to get you back to be honest. If you don't care, see, it'll correct so you're just naturally caring. So it's a way, step two always comes out that way to align with those principles that the Great Spirit gave to us. As you live like this, you're going to have good results. Okay, could we have this group here?
My name's Bruce, I'm an alcoholic. With the thought that we had created all these problems, and most of these subjects have got the problems because of what we did, and that we must change our thoughts, and that to grow spiritually we must grow downwards inside ourselves and cut some of these off. We created a circle with a vision, a wheel with a vision of self-restore, and addressed the subject of peace, action, love, freedom, realistic self-appraisal, tolerance, affection, respect, honesty, in harmony with creation, getting on good terms of work instead of on bad terms as before, feeling good with ourselves, being honest with the feelings when we feel bad, not hiding it. Creativity, being spiritually aware, dependent and true friendship with dependence, sharing, I mean a good God relationship, and again being able to change and having the willingness to change. And most important, the lack of self, addressing our ego, trying to get rid of our ego. Happiness, forgiveness, and finally trying to have decent morals. And that's as far as we got. We find it not easy. Thank you very much.
All right. And sometimes step two is not easy because we're not used to thinking that way. But that's why it's good you do it in a group level. Those associations start to help us see. Because you really want to do a good job in step two so you don't cheat yourself in step 12. As long as you can do the work, what the hell? Go for it all. Not just a little bit. Don't cut yourself short. Because then you have to wait another whole four cycles, you see, for it to happen. Okay, can we get the next group?
Okay, hi, I'm John, and I'm an alcoholic and addict.
John.
What we have here is the counterpart to this tree. Two, you gotta have two. So, what we were trying to illustrate is to take this these emotions right here, that were negative, so to speak, of the anger and the love and the fear and the greed, is below the line of Mother Earth. And in that planting of these emotions, it took a long time for us to come with that vision. It took a big transition, a lot of tears, a lot of sweat that went into Mother Earth and started nourishing through this tree that blossomed. And up through these roots came spiritual growth. And this tree started developing and blossoming and acknowledging the higher power. What we have is patience, tolerance, control, anger, unconditional love, serenity, strength, honesty, healing, passion, compassion, understanding, contentment, acceptance, sharing, and caring. And in this process, of this tree being nurtured in the tree of life, that we are growing strong and the roots are strong now and coming up in this good positive way, the eagle, and acknowledging the spiritual growth, the eagle's going to come to this tree and be the protector and the life of this tree, because it's the tree of life, and it's the interceptor between, in our ways, of this eagle, with the eagle feathers in between this tree of life and this root and the Creator. So we've seen that a little bit that way, and I'm glad that we were the counterpart of that one over there.
All right. Is there one more group yet?
Chris Collins is really beautiful. Thank you. It really helped me. We did personal relationships, and in our first drawing before, we started with the self, and we were painfully honest in our relationships with the Creator and relationships with children and men and employers. And we thank the men's group for showing us one that we forgot, which was friends. And as we were coming up with our different concepts for the dream, the spiritual awakening, what we're going to need in step two, or require in step two to get to the spiritual awakening, we did a wish list of what would really be perfect and wholesome, not just a dream, but really wholesome and fair for everyone and best for everyone. And again, we started with the Creator. So what was very important was conscious contact with the Creator. We really had a need for that. Oneness, we wanted the Creator to reveal himself or herself to us. We wanted total faith and total trust. We wanted God to be first, God in all areas of our life, and even in the worst of situations, to have complete dependence and alliance. And that, of course, is going to flush into all the others, into our men relationships and self and children and friends. With men, we did last. then they went to self. And we want self-forgiveness, nurturing. We want acceptance of our body and the aging process, of our feelings, of our genders. Many women, we all brought this up at the table. It wasn't like the greatest news in the world for my dad when he found out that he had a girl. And I think a lot of women had that experience. So we got real honest with that and talked about accepting our gender. And then, which is different, our sexuality. We want to take personal responsibility for taking actions, not just dreams, not just having dreams, but taking action about dreams we have, making, turning them into goals, which is what the whole concept of this exercise is, as we took it. Living in that reality, quit procrastinating, and follow up on commitments to ourselves. Then we did children, and the children was to help them find their own spirituality, accept their individuality. And all these are pretty much directly, diametrically opposed to what, where we came from, you know, and what we had done with our children. Teach through example, mind our own business, be loving and supportive, have unconditional love, have open communication, act without fear of their anger. That was a very important step for us. That was something that really... important step for us. That was something that really, you know, everyone struggled with that one. And earn your children's trust and respect. At first we said have it, and then Juanita said, no, I want to earn it. You know, it was tough. We said, no, this is a dream, this is a perfect world. But in a perfect world, we have to earn it. And that's one thing that we just talked about while we were listening to everyone. The struggles and the conflicts and the corrections. We're just sitting there, isn't this going to be great when we have all these things? And then we went, wait a minute, we're step two, and this is going to be step 12, this is going to be a hell of a walk. And then we did men. We want to have fearless relationships, we want to be our own selves, interdependent, unconditional love, trust, loving, caring, spiritual relationship, honesty, very important, compatibility, openness, communication, and security. And then friends, loving, understanding, consistent, allowed to be ourselves and vice versa, and
honesty, trust, giving, and accepting. So all of those are completely connected, and it all starts with giving.
So once you get this work done to take step two, one needs to ask himself this question. Do you believe that there is a power could make you this way? If not, are you willing to believe that there is a power that could make you this way? Both of those is enough power to do the step. If not, am I remotely kind of willing to once in a while possibly think that maybe there is a power questionably that could make me that way? That's more than enough to answer that question, not worrying about how or when, but in the existence of the possibility of that power, that step is done. Does that make sense?
Yes.
See, so as you put that in, your energy system also kicks on, and it's like once you see that. I mean, just to say that this was someone's step, it's like you don't hesitate to take step three. You go read in the big book and do what you need to do. You look forward to the possibility. See, I don't believe that the Creator made a set of steps to have them done by fear, but when we can see that whole picture. But you can see, for the most part, they all line up to those principles. There's no other place to line up to. And we start to become principled people instead of fear-based systems. Then we don't react or act. And then we start to see our point of view of the world changes. Because if you take a look at the human being and how it sees reality, if this is a human being, whatever that is, and let's just say this represents reality. See, there's this little concept that says what you see is what you get. So we really don't see, what we really see in reality is not with our senses. I have inside of my mind a projector, a camera. That is my truth, my belief system, my habits, attitudes, expectations. And I will project out to the world, and that becomes my reality. See, I will see in you what I see in you. So I could see good in you, and that's what I would see. Somebody else would look at the same one, say, that's an asshole. Now who's right? Both. Right? If what you see is what you get. These senses here, they merely, very selectively, gather information, and it will filter out any information that would make you look crazy for thinking what you're thinking. Because the mind is designed, you see, to always make sure I'm not the nut. I know why you're the way you are, see. So my mind is designed to always make sure I'm not crazy for thinking what I'm thinking. But as you go through the steps, you set the vision of the possibility, then you start to change the projection. You start to change the reality, and then all of a sudden, you see, sort of like people who really are judgmental to others by the law, you can guarantee you are judgmental to yourself. You're really critical with yourself. So if you want to work on the issue of being judgmental to others, you want to quit that, just work on quit being judgmental to you. Lighten up on yourself. Allow yourself to make mistakes. And as you do that, then all of a sudden you quit judging other people. It's always working inside. I think in the big book, there is a line there, I believe it's one of the greatest lines in the big book, and it says, so basically we think our problems are of our own making. That is the greatest blessing there is. Because what if they were of your making, and you decided to not change it? I'd really be in trouble. Especially if eight of you decided to not change. So it really gets into that position of choice. I don't even need to change you because I can change me. It's not what's going on, it's how I'm looking at what's going on. and I start to live up to the principles that the Creator, the Great Spirit, gave us, and all of a sudden results will change in my life or in that. So that's kind of what these steps, you know, are about. I believe that they are the most powerful thing I've ever seen on the earth in terms of the change of the human being. We won't get into it, but they are in a very specific order that allows the mind to change. You almost couldn't do it any other way. So, is there any comments on to Jesus go right, even though we got just two steps? It's very, very powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. So the books, enjoy them. There's instructions that says we're in a big book, you know, to look at it. So let's see. You have it. You're taping some of this. If anybody wants to get it, they get it from you, right? And so feel free to have that. Debbie, you want to say anything?
I just want to say real briefly, and we did it.
All I was going to say is the way it was doing much, I still learned from all of you. And what we do is that you guys have, and sometimes I think you're aware of how you see it up there. And in a lot of Indian communities that we're in, a lot of the people really don't have that belief system that's inside of them. And I guess what we've just proved today is it is inside of you, because you guys are for me. You know, I've learned a lot of things here today that I haven't learned anyplace else. And that wisdom came from inside of you. So I just want you guys to remember that you do have that inside of yourself. It's not out there in another human being. You know, it's inside of you, and to kind of just keep believing in yourself. And thanks for allowing me to participate in all this.
Thank you. All right. So, let me see. How does this work? There's a meeting tonight. Does anybody know? There's a